This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shachtan, an Indo Askeliga.
Lower and Wanchirna Elner Donaldson Lish and Ifagoxin at near Lower Jeffrey the Dinnerby.
Ni Heg will in policy Shachan, Ian Rodayana in a viral estad occur Leshnabaj Bogashoot.
Skilty, Fis, Turmi.
Nimajigiri in Dram Honyal Ama, Tamajigiri Munchen Honyalista.
Shachtan, find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
You're listening to the Indo Daily. Now, a special episode from our sister podcast, The Bell Tell.
I don't think I'll ever forgive the post office for what they've done. I certainly won't forget it because it ruined our life.
It is what would be for many of us our worst nightmare, being convicted of a crime despite being innocent. But that's exactly what happened in the post office scandal.
Between 2007 and 2014, 736 post office workers were prosecuted for false accounting, fraud and theft.
It has been described as one of the biggest miscarriages of justice in UK history.
This has been an appalling miscarriage of justice, an appalling treatment of all the people affected, and it's right that they get the redress that they deserve.
Over 700 postmasters and postmistresses wrongly accused of stealing money. Many were shamed, some were bankrupted, and some ended up in prison.
So, I mean, I went to court on the 2nd of February and I was sent to jail that day because I was advised that if I pleaded guilty to false accounting, I wouldn't get a custodial sentence, but I got one anyway.
It was later revealed the missing money was the fault of a computer program.
Post office management had already decided on the strategy, which was to blame users. That's why the Horizon phone call people kept saying you're the only one, because they had been told, instructed, said that was the party line.
To tell this tragic story, I'm joined by the Belfast Telegraph's technology reporter, Curtis Reid. Curtis, you're very welcome to the Bell Tell.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
Curtis, people have been coming up to me in the street and talking to me about, did you hear about that post office scandal? Another journalist said, of course you're going to do a podcast about this post office scandal. It is, and it's very interesting, you know, we know that innocent people were convicted of crimes. But it is a challenge, I suppose, to try and explain to people in an interesting way what this is about. Because literally, this is about accounting software, which is not really the normal subject that, certainly not in this podcast. I'm sure there are some accounting software podcasts out there. So the challenge to you is, can you explain the post office scandal in simple terms?
Yeah, well, I mean, so this basically started in 1999 and went the whole way to 2015. So to explain just sort of in layman terms, you know, imagine that you run a small post office store. You're responsible for the cash, the stamps, the parcels. And one day the computer system says that you're missing lots of money. You swear it's wrong. Nobody listens, but they think that you stole it. So this is what happened to many postmasters here in Northern Ireland and throughout the UK, all because of a faulty computer system called Horizon. So like I said, from 1999 to 2015, hundreds were wrongly accused of theft and fraud based on this computer system's errors. So to explain a little bit more about this actual computer system. So it was 1999. The post office decided they needed a bit of a change. So they used a company called Fujitsu to implement a new software called Horizon. However, this is where it all began, because Horizon was far from a perfect system. It had bugs, it made mistakes, it did shortfalls. It showed that money was missing when it wasn't. A lot of people who I've spoken to who were involved in this actual scandal describe how the system would operate transactions without, would operate transactions itself. It would just do it automatically, therefore leading to, you know, miscalculated funds at the end of the month or at the end of the working day, because the system was doing it itself.
Curtis, you're the technology reporter here at the Belfast Telegraph, so you understand these things better than most. But for many people, 99% of us don't understand computers. And computers have a reputation of infallibility. And they also have this reputation now, because of artificial intelligence, that they can think for themselves. But we're talking about a piece of software that dates from 1999. You're talking about bugs and problems. Fundamentally, a human being created this software, which runs on a computer. And that is where the problem originates from, ultimately. It's a mistake made in programming, or multiple mistakes made in the programming.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting that it started in 1999. So we'll get on to Mr. McLaughlin later on, the person that I interviewed who was wrongly convicted here in Northern Ireland. But, you know, he made such a good point where, when he was one of the first to raise concerns about the system that he used every single day whilst he was working in the post office, and he knew himself and he was passionate about the fact that it was not human error. It was a computer system that was making these faults. And he said to me, you know, in 2004, when I raised these concerns, computer systems were seen as infallible. You know, they were seen as they could do no wrong. They were ginormous calculators. And therefore, if there was any mistakes shown, it was human error and it couldn't possibly be the computer. Ironically, 4 years before Mr. McLaughlin raised his concerns, and 1 year after Horizon was implemented into the post offices, the world was panicking over something called the Millennium Bug, which everyone thought that the entire world's computer systems were going to go down because they didn't have faith that a computer would be able to recognize 00 in the year 2000 as the date. So it's strange that those two things almost happened in conjunction with one another. Computers are infallible, they're brilliant, but will they just collapse because they simply cannot compute 00?
How many people did this ultimately involve in one way or the other?
So this is actually a really hard question to answer. We know it's well over 700. So 736 people have been criminally prosecuted. However, that's 700 people that have come forward. There are probably thousands of people that this happened to that have never made it public. And that could be for a variety of reasons. You know, this was a very shameful thing to happen to people, you know, at the start when they were initially accused of stealing money. You know, I think when it comes down to a post office environment, you know, when we think of a post office, we think of community, we think of a small little branch, you know, where people, especially elderly people, are going in, they're doing their daily transactions, they're lifting money, they're checking their bank accounts, they're getting their pensions. And it was very much a community spirit. I mean, my grandmother herself personally knows her postmaster by name when she goes in to do her transactions. So the fact that these people were accused of fraud and mismanagement of funds just led to this really, you know, massive shadow of shame. So therefore, a lot of people have never, ever came forward to...
But they would have been accused by...
Yes, so there's multiple people that have been convicted that have never came forward to get their convictions quashed, despite the fact that, I mean, I spoke to a solicitor earlier on this week who's leading up a great part in the Northern Irish aspect of this, and he's actually going over to become involved with the actual inquiry, which is currently ongoing into this. I mean, he knows that there are people here in Northern Ireland that have been convicted, and all they need to do is come forward to have their convictions quashed, you know, but they just won't, and they haven't. So when we talk about figures, we can never be exact.
Can never be exact. Now that, I mean, those people, to live with a conviction, criminal conviction, has huge consequences.
Exactly.
It's supposed to have huge consequences. So we do know that there are, you know, we're working around this figure of over 700 postmasters and postmistresses, but we do understand that thousands were suspected, accused, convicted of this.
Yeah, and not even convictions as well. When you come down to the people who were, you know, there is bound to be, and we know there are people out there that have came and the post office accused them of stealing money and they have used their own funds to pay it back. You know, there are people out there that are probably bankrupt themselves and they've just made sure that it go, you know, they've probably used their own funds to pay it back to ensure that it goes away. I mean, when we talk about convictions, yes, but we also talk about livelihoods that have been ruined. And those people have paid this amount of money in order to avoid a conviction and are still living out there with that shame, with that, you know, with knowing that that happened to them. And it all could be resolved if they simply came forward.
People who were forced to pay back the money, people who lost their businesses, people who were criminally convicted, people who have to live with this shame. Some people actually did time over this.
Yes. Yeah.
Can we put a figure on that?
Again, very, very complicated. At least three people we know served some form of prison sentence. It's interesting in terms of the perspective of this. So the post office's tactics was very much, you need to pay this back. And, you know, if you pay it back, then we might just sort of move on from it. You know, if the person maybe put up a little bit more of a fight, you know, and or physically could not pay it back, because some of the sums of money that these postmasters were accused were in the £60,000-£70,000, which people simply do not have to just freely pay back. Most people took plea agreements. You know, most people pleaded guilty in order to avoid actual jail time. But again, we're talking about, you know, pleading guilty to a crime that you actually did not commit and wrongly convicted. A few people that we know at least served some form of prison sentence.
We have to be very, very careful here about my next question, but I think it has to be asked. This scandal and everything that went with it does seem to have been a factor in some people ending their own lives. And I mean, obviously there may have been other factors involved. We have to be very careful. But that's out there.
Yes, it is. At least four people are believed to have taken their lives due to this scandal.
You know, I think the question I have many questions now, but the question I have asked myself is, you're working in the post office at a certain level, and obviously there are going to be dodgy postmasters. I mean, there are dodgy journalists, there are dodgy policemen. But at what stage do you look at your screen and think, how can there be thousands of them? Why did they not realise that something had gone wrong? And if they did realise that something had gone wrong, why did they vindictively go after people that they must have suspected that there was something wrong?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's two ways to look at it. You know, I think whenever you talk about people, you know, why didn't they, you know, the postmasters themselves, you know, why didn't they realise that there was something wrong? You know, this was a new computing system. You know, they had licensed, you know, the ability to run a post office. The post office at the time had a very trustworthy reputation. So, you know, it was probably a form of, you know, not to use a buzzword, but, you know, gaslighting themselves into thinking, oh, well, maybe I have made a mistake here. You know, I have done something. You know, maybe there are shortfalls. You know, maybe I'm not a good postmaster. Maybe I have made mistakes. And then that probably led to, you know, admitting something that, you know, that they were convinced was the truth at the time. And I think a lot of that also has to do with the post office the post office's tactics in their approach. You know, one victim here in Northern Ireland, Deirdre Connolly, described it as a bully boy method. You know, that people were intimidated. They would turn up to their post offices to find two, you know, managerial workers who put a lot of pressure on the postmasters themselves, you know, convincing them, you know, you've stole the money, or if you haven't stole the money, another person has stole the money. And I think one of the most interesting and devastating parts of this entire ordeal is that anytime a person had reported an issue with the Horizon system, the post office ensured that they were led to believe that they were the only person that this affected. So if you rang up and you told the post office that you were experiencing a glitch, or you believed there was a glitch in the Horizon system, which is leading to shortfalls, the post office deliberately told people, you're the only person that this is happening to.
That's beyond dishonest.
Yeah, it is. It really was one of the most interesting aspects of this entire story, to convince people that they were the only people that this is happening to. You know, it plays into that tactics of, you can see why so many people just either paid the money back or just, you know, pled guilty to these convictions because of these tactics, because of this sort of emotional manipulation that you know, was implemented. And it is ultimately very, very tragic. I mean, imagine, you know, I think there's a real personal aspect to this story, you know, has been greatly portrayed in the ITV series, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, which is, you know, the personal impact on people. People wanted it to go away. And if you think you're working in a post office, you've worked all your life to buy one or license one, and, you know, you're working closely with the community, and you're told by the post office itself, well, this, you're the only person that this has ever happened to, so therefore you must be doing something wrong.
Oh my God. It's just doubled right in front of my eyes. Now it says I'm £4,000 down.
It'll sort itself out, these things do. In the meantime...
I was only doing what you told me.
In the meantime, you'll need to make good the loss.
I haven't got that money, and I don't know where it's gone.
I'm sorry, you are responsible for balancing your account and making good any shortfalls.
You mentioned the ITV drama series. That's why this is back in the news. Obviously, we know sometimes that the dramatisation of a story can engage the public in a way that perhaps a print story about accounting software cannot. Never, you know, despite the devastating consequences of this, I just wonder, before I move on, the post office covered up mistakes. They doubled down on a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They ruined lives.
Mm-hmm.
They told lies. People went to jail. Some people ended their own lives. I mean, has anyone from the post office or Fujitsu been punished?
No. I mean, if you'd asked me that question, it would have been a lot simpler a couple of days ago. But over the weekend, the Met Police in London said that they would be launching a formal investigation into the post office specifically. Two people were interviewed under caution. However, it's important to stress that we don't know who those two people are. We don't know whether or not they were, involved. We don't know at what level or if they are involved with the post office. But two people were interviewed under caution, which sort of leads to believe that this may be a criminal investigation coming. Just to note that investigation relates to fraud related to the prosecutions of postmasters.
Just before I move on, can you take us through very succinctly the latest timeline with regards to this? I mean, because I'm looking, we discussed how the original rollout of the Horizon system began in 1999. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All of the problems that we discussed came about in 2009. The postmasters form an action group to deal with this. In 2013, that's 4 years later, post office then admits defects in Horizon software, but then say the system was fixed and is effective. Can you take us on from that point?
And the really interesting part of this timeline as well is that although in 2013 the post office admitted that there was defects in the Horizon system, as we'll get on to, Mr. McLaughlin, who was a postmaster affected here in Northern Ireland, recalls ringing the helpline set up for postmasters in 2004, only to be confronted with a ready-made response, which implied that the post office already knew there was defects in the system, and therefore were equipped to deal with any queries or issues around it way back in 2004, but before they eventually did admit that there were defects. So in 2014, a forensic report described Horizon as not fit for purpose due to the errors. The post office denied it, and the prosecutions then continued. In 2017, a group action is brought by sub-postmasters in London's High Court, and the post office is successfully sued by 555 sub-postmasters. That's still ongoing. There are people who have still yet to receive one penny of compensation. There are people out there who have declared bankruptcy, so therefore any compensation that they have received, 51% is taken then by the state. It's, you know, that's, I think, really an emotional toll. You know, there's people out there that had to declare bankruptcy because they paid this money back. They're therefore receiving compensation, and they're not even getting the amount that they paid back in compensation, which is just leading to further devastation, which is, you, a lot of people are out there thinking, well, that's it. You know, I've received my compensation, and, you know, that's it.
That's the kind of thing you would expect government to step in with some sort of legislation, some sort of... I understand this has got very, very complicated, and I'm thinking about the listener.
Yeah,
very much because, you know, as they start. I suppose the injustice is so grand and is so complete, and it's so unfair that, you know, the human brain thinks, how would this happen? And you fear, you know, I don't want to think about this. I don't want to understand because I'm afraid of it happening to me. Mm-hmm. So what's the latest on this?
Yeah, so over the weekend, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, took a very substantial interest in it. He said that, you know, that the post office should be, or, you know, there should be a process in which the person at fault or the company at fault should be held responsible. Just as recently as today, there's been calls for Fujitsu to step in. They're the parent company of the Horizon system. They created the system. Fujitsu has a very long relationship with certain government bodies. It's also heavily involved in certain bodies here in Northern Ireland for funding. There have been calls for Fujitsu to step in and help pay the compensation, the further compensation to all the victims. I think it's been really spearheaded, like we said, by the ITV series. And the ITV series did a great job of portraying, you know, four different individuals who were personally impacted. And I think whenever, like we've said in this podcast, it's very hard to put a human angle on a story which at the end of the day is about accounting software and, you know, shortfalls and glitches. But when you put a human in front of that story, like Alan McLaughlin, who we'll talk about, or like Alan Bates or the people portrayed in the series, you really get to see the emotional toll and impact. And there is a warning here as well, you know, which is that if you work with, you know, money, you work for a larger company, you know, this could happen to anyone. I mean, this was, at the end of the day, a glitch in a software system that plenty of retail establishments use. Not Horizon specifically, but they use some form of, you know, accounting software. And this really could happen to anybody.
And it always seems to happen to the little people.
It does.
Hannah, you mentioned Alan McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. He's a local victim of this. What can you tell me? You have interviewed Alan McLaughlin. Yes. What can you tell me about Alan McLaughlin?
Alan worked in a post office just for 2 years as well. He was a postmaster at a post office up in North Belfast. And during that time, he detected that there were irregularities with the Horizon system. He's very, very adamant that, you know, he raised the concerns almost immediately. He was straight on to the post office's helpline, you know, and, you know, was really adamant that there was errors in the system and therefore the errors in the system must be fixed.
What I came to the conclusion after a few months that they literally didn't know what they were doing. And I'm referring to post office management and the Horizon trainers, because obviously when I complained and I demanded that they sort out what these problems were, or asked that they sort out these problems, whenever they couldn't come up with solutions, you know, whenever I did set of the accounts with their trainers and representatives, and the variations were still the same. Obviously, then you pose the question, well, why is this happening? If you can't identify that myself or any of the staff are making mistakes, then why is the system generating errors? Now, whenever they can't come up with an answer to that, mm-hmm. you know straight away that there are two possibilities. One, they simply don't know, or two, they're closing ranks and are preparing to shift the blame to the users.
Yeah.
And of course, we now know that in 1997 to 99, before the system was even rolled out, post office management had already decided on a strategy which was to blame users. That's why the Horizon phone call people kept saying, you're the only one and it must be something you're doing, because they had been told, instructed, said that was the party line.
Yeah, yeah.
Party line was that users were to blame.
Yeah.
But I knew that wasn't the case.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's real. I know we talk about how this story is just so immense and so perplexing, but, you know, he describes ringing the post office and hearing a rehearsed answer from one of their management teams on the helpline that's set up for post office staff to report any issues. You know, he describes hearing such a rehearsed, scripted answer about the specific concerns that he was raising. And this was his first red flag. You know, he thought, well, this is strange, because why would a company who's not aware of any issues with its system have such a scripted, specific answer to the faults that he was highlighting?
So he suspected something was wrong. But what happened to him?
So basically, the post office then quite simply accused him of being responsible for the shortfalls. His offences relate to a total of nearly £10,000, which the post office claimed that he was directly responsible for mismanaging, or, you know, in layman's terms, stealing. You know, he's. Like I said before, he's a very stoic individual. You know, when he talked about this, he was very, very, you know, firm in knowing that he was completely in the right. And he, you know, ensured that it didn't let, he didn't let the entire process affect him. You know, we've heard plenty of interviews from people who have talked about, you know, the absolute, and, you know, with every right, you know, the absolute devastation that this took on his life. He's very adamant that he did not let this affect him, because he knew in his heart of hearts that he was completely right all along.
But I mean, you're right. He was convicted of false accounting offences.
Yes.
15 fraud-related offences, responsible for, I mean, that's a criminal conviction, a serious criminal conviction, so he's not affected by it. Can I ask, what is his legal status now?
He recently received a portion of compensation. However, he's still taking part in the ongoing inquiry. And then at the end of the inquiry, it may lead to further compensation for further victims.
Has his record been wiped?
So in 2022, last year, his conviction was declared a mistrial because the post office failed to declare during his original case that they knew and detected faults with the Horizon system. There is a really interesting part in Mr. McLaughlin's entire case, and he's not shy about admitting that this may hinge the entire public inquiry on, which is that because he reported the issues so early on in 2004, and he commissioned his own forensic report, so he got his legal team to compile a forensic report based on data that the post office gave him. And he analysed that and was able to spot the errors. It becomes really important that the post office then admitted that there was issues then to him, but then they stopped admitting that after. So it becomes almost that, you know, Mr. McLaughlin's almost a very key figure in this entire thing, which is that the post office sort of gave in to him, but hoped that it would just sort of go away. And then when it grew and grew and grew, it became very, very clear that what he had done was you know, a process that could perhaps change the eventual outcome of all of this.
So he's an important character in this story. I can tell you, looking at these details, that I think I would end up, myself personally, being very ill if I was found myself in this,
there were,
in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many people that were, you know, just, you know, the complete devastation on their lives, you know, and a lot of people also talk about, you know, there's no smoke without fire. You know, if there's people who ran post offices in small rural communities that were accused of this, and then, you know, the revelation sort of got round to the rural communities. And sometimes an accusation like that, no matter how many times we explain, you know, how the Horizon IT accounting scandal, there are accusations out there that will, you know, follow these people forever. You know, once tarred a thief, there will be people in those rural communities that always consider that person to be a thief.
Can you tell us anything about any other Northern Ireland-based victims of this post office scandal?
Yeah, so the public inquiry is still ongoing, and in May 2022, a woman called Sinead Rainey from Moneyglass gave a very emotional impact statement in that inquiry, which was widely reported on. She describes being accused of stealing up to £63,000, which just shows the impact and the accusations that was levelled at these workers. She describes being accused, arriving at her post office one day to find two post office staff members who then went on to accuse her. She describes driving home, lifting a bucket in her house, smashing her children's piggy banks, you know, finding money anywhere that she could, ringing her parents who emptied their bank accounts, family, friends, uncles who also emptied their bank accounts, all to raise £42,000, then to drive back to the post office and give them the £42,000, and admitting that she knows that it's not the £63,000, but this is all she could raise. And the post office said no, and she was marched to a police station.
Has anyone in the post office, anyone involved in this, any of these individuals who took part in this, has anyone spoken out? Has anyone admitted it? Has anyone apologised or anything?
No. It's such a strange approach, and I know what you mean, for it to go on such a long time. I mean, this is 20 years since Alan McLaughlin first raised his concerns, you know, so he's lived with this for 20 years. But there has never been an example of, you know, maybe someone who has left the post office, who's maybe came back and thought, oh, well, you know, I'm going to talk about my involvement in this. I'm going to talk about the tactics. It seems to this vacuum of silence.
Well, Curtis, we asked the post office for a statement, and here's what they had to say. They said, we are acutely aware of the human cost of the scandal and are doing all we can to right the wrongs of the past as far as that is possible. Both post office and government are committed to providing full, fair and final compensation for the people affected. To date, offers of compensation totaling more than 138 million have been made to around 2,700 postmasters, the majority of which have been agreed and paid. Interim payments continue to be made in cases which have not yet been resolved. Well, Curtis, this is a subject I have no doubt we will return to. But in the meantime, Curtis Reid, technology reporter with the Belfast Telegraph, thank you very much. This episode of The Bell Tale was produced by myself, Kieran Dunbar, sound designed by Graham Davidson. Clips from UTV, BBC and Sky.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.